Good evening and welcome back. I'm glad that you're here to hear another portion of God's holy and divine word. We will not be long tonight, I don't anticipate. I want to share with you the lesson that I had planned for that I mentioned on this morning, the manner of Hannah, as we continue to look into God's word. Before I get started, and I know, 2016 has been very rough on me based on coming up here and doing what I said I would do. But Brother Bill did ask me to share with you, the congregation, the total amount of monies that we had collected on behalf of Paul and Vera Allen. And that was $1,405 that they received that was placed into their account. That's not counting the expense for shipping. They had actually two shippings of things that we sent to them, their personal items, which came out to roughly about $146. So it's just a tremendous effort again that you've shown forth your love and care and concern for one another, and we appreciate that so very much. Two individuals at this congregation gave specifically for that, and we appreciate that. But all of you have given, because what we did was, as we got to the end, we kind of topped out, if you will, what was sent, and I think the church paid about $210 that came from us collectively as a congregation that Brother Bill and I had made the decision that we were going to send. So everybody, I want to say thank you to you, because we all contributed to a great work. And that's why when those people came to see us, the great love that was shown, they could see that we're the kind of people that we are, and we want to continue to strive to be all that we can be. So I wanted to share that information with you. They received the final payment, I think, on Friday that we sent over to them. And within the next day or two, they should have all the things that we sent to them. But on behalf of Paul and Vera, he wanted me to tell you all this. They want to thank you so very much for the love, care, and concern that you have shown to them. They don't know if they'll make it back this way again, but for you to continue to reach out and show your love towards them, they are very, very appreciative of that. So Paul wanted me to share that with you, the congregation, his family. On this morning, I had given a little teaser, if you will, to kind of get us to look into the Bible and to just kind of figure things out. And I wanted to give the answer to that with Scripture. But before I do, about four people came up to me with their answer before I left the building. I was so excited about that. So did anybody know how old he was? 36. 37, 28, 40, we're all over the place. Because I'm a liberal kind of a teacher in a sense. The correct answer is 36, but I will give 37 because you don't know about birthdays and so forth, even though the Bible says they came 1 year afterwards, which will put in line more 36, perhaps, than 37. But if I had a class and you were in there and you came that close, you'll get credit, see? Everybody want to take my class because I reward effort. So that's the number that we came up with. The scriptures that was given, I read from one of the people who responded. Genesis 17:17, Sarah is 90. Abraham is 99. Genesis 17:21, the promise for a son of Isaac to be born 1 year. So Sarah is therefore 91. Genesis 21:1-5, the promise fulfilled. Abraham was again 99, Sarah was 91. Isaac is born. Genesis 23:1, Sarah dies at the age of 127. Isaac was 36 years old when Sarah died. So that's the precise number there. But again, 36 or 37 would take, but 36 would seem to be the more accurate of the two. So thank you very much for your effort at that. It's always good to look into God's word. Again, the title of the lesson on tonight is The Manner of Hannah, and it ties into the lesson that we had this morning when we talked about two great Bible characters, that being Adam and Abraham. And we saw their lives as we discussed on today and how one on this occasion failed to put God before his gift that was given to him. And then we saw the second one, Abraham, where he indeed put the gift that God had given him. He did not put that gift before God. So we wanted to conclude with the great story of Hannah, because I think she ties in. She has a lot to say. We can look at her life. We can be encouraged by what she did, and it's a great story to look at, to know, to watch her life, watch her examples that was given, because I do believe that it can greatly help us. The man of Hannah, or the ways of Hannah, is a beautiful look into a woman who was greatly distressed, but was later blessed. That's one lesson that we can get out of that, from distressed to blessed. So in your Bibles, if you turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter is 1. We're going to read through this this chapter, and I want to stop and make some reference to the point as we go through, and then that would be the lesson that we have planned for you on tonight. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 1, reading through verse number 5. The Bible says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathah-Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, an Ephraimite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from this city yearly to worship at the sacrifice to the Lord of hosts of Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, was priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb." When we look at the first five verses, we find out some things about Hannah and her life. Hannah was not only provided for, she was well provided for. That's great, and we read in God's word that this man, Elkanah, loved his wife and took care of her. In fact, the Bible says that he gave her a double portion. When he handed out, pending all kids, children, their gifts they were getting, that he rewarded her or gave her a double portion. So she was well taken care of. Which leads us also to understand that she was a woman that was loved. That's no small thing. To have your husband love you. And he certainly did. But the Bible tells us that God closed her womb. She was unable to bear children. Somebody might look and say, well, why did God do that? God can do anything that he wanted to do, first of all. But God allowed this to be because he knows that down the line, there is a tremendous blessing that's going to come. I'm going to be able to teach my people something. They will know that I am God. And I have the ability to close a woman's womb and to open it up at my discretion. God is God. So it lets us know that whatever we receive from God, it is just. But it also let us know, as we're going to find out with Hannah, when you begin to petition God and begin to pray, God will hear us. Isn't that wonderful to know? As a child of God, that God will hear us, where he can say something I'm not going to do. But then after hearing us, if he makes a decision to change his mind, he certainly can. And he can give us what we ask for. So we look at this in the life of Hannah. Let's continue to read at verse number 6. The Bible says, "And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord has closed her womb." See, some people are just like that. Where's the compassion for this woman who cannot have a child? Rather than her go to encourage her, the Bible says she did all she could to make her miserable. Why? Because there's competition. There's things going on. Well, who does he love more, me or Hannah? See, that's why it's so important. And even if I was a man that lived in the Old Testament, I like to believe that I would have had one wife and one wife only. One wife is plenty. Because you have these things that happen, you see. When she began to look, she was going to make her life miserable. Why? Because back in that time, having a child was everything. If you could not bear a child, you see, back then, you were looked down upon. And you know, that exists in this world today. In Christmas country, if you go to Nigeria, those women who cannot have children, they do all kind of risky things, you see, to try to produce children. Because in their culture, it still means something. But those of us in the West, you know, some make decisions to have children, some don't. It's no big deal. Nobody's going to look at you any differently. You can rise to the top still whether you have children or not. But not back in this day. That's why she was so miserable, because everything meant having a child. And you know what? Way back then, it was a perilous thing to have children. A lot of women did not survive. When they say either the mother live or the child live, it meant that. They had to make a decision. A lot of women died giving birth to children. Now, we don't hear about, if we hear about that today, it's a rarity, isn't it? Because of all the advancement of medicine and all these different things. But back then, it was a very serious thing. So a woman was more than willing to put her life on the line to have a child. That's how important it was to them. The Bible says in verse number 7, so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. You see, that's what discouragement would do to you. That's what pain would do to you, you see. When she went down because she had been so miserable, because she has been provoked by her rival, if you will, that she was not sleeping, that she was weeping, and she didn't want to eat. It's a natural thing that will happen. The Bible goes on to say at verse number 8 and 9, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? That's no small sin. He said, I'm better to you than 10 sons. Sons had the responsibility of taking care of their mother, and even before back to their grandmother. That was their responsibility back in those days. He is saying that I provide for you, Hannah. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Why are you grieving, and why are you sad, and why you won't eat? The Bible says in verse number 9, so Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. She's now gotten herself up. She's now in a presence where the priest Eli is there to witness something about this lady. And I want you to hear what she had to say. Verse number 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Like we talked about 2 weeks ago, right? Prayer, right? And tears. The Bible goes on to say, verse 11. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you would indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. That is a vow that she made to God. This is a serious thing, you see, when you call God out and say, God, give me a gift. And if you give me a gift, I promise with a vow that I'll give him back to you. That's no small thing when you look at what she vowed, because she wanted a child that badly. Too many times, and I'll ask you to consider your life because I consider mine, when you have conversation with God and things that you want to do, things that you begin to ask for, are we making a vow or not? When we say we're going to do something to God, is that a vow or not? You see, if we say we're going to do something, we ought to do it. Unless we face God and say, and God say to us, why did you break your vow? Why did you promise me that if I gave you what you asked for, that you would do such and such, yet you didn't do it? So we look at this lady. It's a strong statement that she's making concerning her faith in God. She has made a vow, a promise to God. Pick up at verse number 12. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. The Bible says, so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. See, that happens sometimes when people think they have all the information. Isn't that right? Sometimes things can appear to be one way and they're not. You don't have all the information. We are not to be quick to judge anything until we truly have the facts. All Eli saw was a woman there talking, lips moving. He thinks that she's been drinking. This woman is drunk by all places, by the tabernacle. This is taboo. Woman, put your wine, or how long will you be drunk in my presence? People do misunderstand, do they not? But you know what? Some of us do and some of us don't. Whenever I misunderstood, I try my best. Yeah, I get a little upset that people don't understand. I understand that. But when I come to myself, I feel like it's my responsibility to explain myself or the situation. Some people say, I don't care, my business, I don't have to explain anything to them. Well, when it comes to God and what I'm trying to present to be his follower, I think I do need to explain. Look, this is a mistake. The only reason that I'm up here or pass through this place, you know, if I happen to be by Jack's Liquor, that don't mean that I'm here. That don't mean that I'm buying liquor. I don't know what the situation is. I remember a long time back. Y'all remember that cocoa juice they used to have? My thought was you can only get that cocoa juice, which I saw as a chaser with my people that lived with me before. I love that cocoa juice. And I went by there and got that cocoa juice. And one day it dawned on me. I said, man, what if somebody see me and Jack's look? I know what I'm here for. I said, I'm going to have to give up the cocoa juice. But it just so happened when I told somebody, they said, no, man, you can get that from Albertson. You don't have to go there. But the point is, I would have to explain myself why I'm there or give it up. Is it really worth it? The cocoa juice was not that good to me when I began to look at what could happen. But thank goodness for Albertson, I was able to get it. And now I was able to get it so freely, none of the drama. I probably don't even want it anymore, you know, but that's just the way it is. The Bible says at verse number 15, but Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Hannah thought it was very important to explain herself. Hannah could have said very easily, I was praying to God. God knows that I was praying to him. This man sitting over here, this priest Eli, who don't have all the facts, yet he's making his accusation to me. Let him go before God and answer for himself. She could have done that. But no, she explained to him why. Don't think that I'm wicked. I was praying. I'm not drunk. She took the time to explain to Eli. The Bible says at verse number 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Eli gave her the confirmation that she was looking for. He said, go and you will be blessed. God is going to give you what you asked for. When, upon hearing this, you see, now she's been greatly encouraged. Get up for and go along. And the Bible says she is no longer sad. This was a praying woman. This was a woman that wasn't afraid to weep. This was a woman that was not afraid to go before God and ask, even though her wound had been closed, because she must have known that God is able. We can learn a lot from her, you see. The Bible goes on to say at verse 19 and 20, then they rose early in the morning and worshiped for the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked from him from the Lord. Isn't it good to know that God is still in the prayer answering business? He was back then and he is now. No, we have things in our lives that we pray for sometimes. Some go with little faith. Some go with no faith. Some go and pray to God and say, God, you know, I know you're not going to give it to me. But here, you know, go to him and ask. And if it's for you and God wants you to have it, you will have it. So go with great boldness. But be bold enough to understand if God says no, he said no. But there's nothing wrong with asking. Make sure that we ask God for that which is holy. Do not ask for evil things. God is in the prayer answering business. The Bible says at verse number 21, now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. Now, I don't know about you, but the first time that I read this story, I got real worried for Hannah. I saw in my mind, here's an opportunity that she's backtracking on what she said she was going to do. He went down to worship. She said, no, I'm going to stay until the child is weaned. And that's exactly what she did, you see? So I was very concerned because I'm the type of person, I like happy endings. When somebody is doing something, I'd rather see somebody succeed any time of the day than fail. Some people go to events, what, to see people fail. I go to see people win. I like people to come out on top. It's just part of my nature. That's the cheerleader part of me, I guess. I want people to do well. So when I came across this story, I began to scratch my head and said, oh boy, here we go. Hannah, come on. You bow. You made a vow to God. And now it appears that you're not going to follow through with it. But the Bible says in verse number 23, so Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Notice this now. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. He is saying to his wife, okay, Hannah, I hear what you're saying. I'm going down for my yearly worship. You're not going. You say you're going to stay back and wean this child. But let the word of the Lord be established. Let his word be established. What is he saying to her? Don't you break your vow. That's what he's saying to her. Don't you break your vow. Isn't it wonderful to have a spouse for those of us who are married to remind us to be faithful? Isn't that a beautiful thing? To have a faithful spouse that's there when our minds begin to drift or we begin to just, backtrack a little bit on what we know we should do. To have somebody come and say, wait a minute. This is what we said we're going to do for the Lord. Yeah, I know we got this unexpected bill that came in, but we're not going to take God's money and do that. No. We're going to do what God expects us to do, you see. So it's great to have a test, but it's also great to have somebody who's going to encourage you to do that which is right. Too many people have other people telling them not to do those things that are right in the sight of God. So we look at Elkanah, this man. This was a great man to remind his wife, because he loves her, do not want her in a difficult situation with God. Let his word be established. Keep your vow. It is a great thought as we look at this couple. The Bible says in verse number 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him with her with three bulls and one ephah of flour and a skin of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as she lives, as long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. Oh, Eli, when you saw me, I'm the same woman that was there, that you said that was drunk. But now you see God has answered my prayer. And I made a vow to God that if he gave me this man child, I was going to lend him back to the Lord. And I'm bringing him to you this day, because now he is weaned. And now he's a little older, yet young. And you are, and he's going to, I'm going to lend him to you. And we know the great story of Samuel. We know what Samuel became. And for us, the Lord's work is done. Mind you now, this is the same Samuel who once had a mother whose womb was closed. But yet God opened her womb to bring out his marvelous message. And now we find this Samuel, a great prophet of God, a great man of God, you see, that was going forward to do great things. He was raised up with Eli. Eli raised him up to see. He knew all the ways of God's ways, of being a prophet and so forth. And that's why he was so prepared, because God knew the work that would be necessary for him to carry out his will. The manner of Hannah is tremendous. When we look at the way she went about things, you see, as I mentioned already, she was not afraid to approach God and ask God to change his mind, to open her womb. And when she made a promise to him, she kept it. She did exactly what she said that she was going to do. And that's the great testimony we have of her life when we look at her today. Hannah is known as a faithful woman. Hannah is a name that is beautiful, that's been passed down through time. When mothers name their fathers name their daughters Hannah. Why? Because of the great integrity of this woman. You see, we're grateful that we have the story to look back on. We're grateful to know that in her life we can look and see that though she was very distressed in her life at some point, that in the end, she was blessed. Isn't that like us today? Don't we have distresses in this life? Many things happen in this life. We have to go through. God has asked us to hang in there. But know this, in the end, we may be stressed now, but in the end, we're going to be blessed if we stick with God. And that's the encouragement that we give you tonight, that we can look around each and every one of us to one another and say, hang in there. God is victorious. We are in the right place. We have done the right things. Let's encourage one another to do all that we can. The manner of Hannah is a tremendous lesson to each and every one of us. It could be tonight that someone is not a child of God. We want to encourage you to be faithful. To be faithful to God, just as we learned Hannah did in her life, in her time. That we can know that God is able to save us. God wants to save us. That's why he allowed his son Jesus to come and die on the cross for the sins of the world. That those who are without can have a relationship with Jesus by obeying him, therefore pleasing God and having the opportunity to be with him when this is all said and done. You see, when you come to the Lord, you hear his word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then we need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's rewarded them that diligently seek him. Then we need to repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13, verses 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then we need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, the verses are 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you for my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you for my Father which is in heaven. Then we all need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. On that day, Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we need to be faithful until the end. Revelation chapter 2 and the verses 10. Be thou faithful until the end. And that's what we're trying to do, you see. Hang in there. There is a crown for us. There's a victorious crown for us in the end if we remain faithful until the end. If you're a child of God tonight, and perhaps you have been a little relaxed on your vows that you made, your promise that you made to God, perhaps God have blessed you and you have not kept that which you said you're going to do, change that now. Come and ask God to forgive you. Show that you love him and you're not going to take his gifts and just throw them away. We can't treat God any kind of way. We can't do that. If we make a promise to him, and usually when we do make those promises like Hannah, we're in distress. But when God give us a victory and give us what we ask for, if it's according to his will, we need to honor him and thank him and let him know that I will carry out and do exactly what I said I would do. Three great Bible characters we looked at today. Adam in this situation did not do well. Abraham in his situation did very well. Hannah in her situation did very well, you see. So we have all kind of examples in the Bible, both good and bad, to help us to do all that we can to be the type of children that God will have us to be. If you're in need of prayer, you know someone else, why don't you come here together, we stand and sing the invitational song.
Let us sing. There's a fire.